Located on Canada's east coast, the province of New Brunswick shares a border with Quebec, Nova Scotia, and Maine. The French first homesteaded Canada's eastern shores more than 400 years ago and dubbed their beautiful new land Acadia. But in 1755, the entire French community of New Brunswick was brutally deported to the southern colonies, back to France and other parts of the world by the British. Eventually, many Acadians returned to reestablish their vibrant French culture throughout New Brunswick, as well as the neighboring maritime provinces. Festival Acadienne pays homage to the Acadians' 400-year history in Canada and their return from deportation. One of Canada's premier cultural celebrations, the festival draws visitors from across the country and the United States. Even though most Acadian communities are predominantly French-speaking, a vast majority of the denizens are bilingual and exceptionally friendly and welcoming to visitors. The festival presents approximately 100 events, including plays, private gallery shows, singers, instrumental musicians, and dancers. Most of the 200 artists are New Brunswick Acadians, but some come from overseas, Quebec, Ontario, Western Canada, and Louisiana. A touching highlight of the two-week festival is the annual Tintamarre that takes place on the streets of Caraquet August 15th. Commencing at 6 p.m. and continuing non-stop for a full hour, more than 20,000 delighted revelers parade down the main street wearing fanciful costumes and operating assorted noisemakers. Locals and visitors alike blow whistles, horns, and pound on pots and pans, proudly proclaiming to the world their cultural pride and joy in French Acadian culture, traditions, and customs. Every facet of creative expression is celebrated during the French Acadian Festival, from photographic and fine art shows to literature and dance. On the outdoor stage at Carrefour de la Mer, an array of dance troupes present folkloric performances, while children's creativity workshops include the making of papier-mâché heads, kites, musical instruments, and dramatic improvisation. In honor of the Acadians' seafaring roots, the blessing of the fishing fleet at the Caraquet Wharf is a special event that attracts more than 6,000 people. The Gala de la Chanson de Caraquet is a series of free outdoor musical performances held every evening. One of its most touching moments is to witness thousands of locals and visitors, from babies to teenagers and pensioners alike, joyously savoring the tune side by side and arm in arm. In recent years, Gala de la Chanson de Caraquet has grown into an interprovincial contest where winners of similar contests in Nova Scotia and Prince Edward Island also participate. Nearby, not-to-be-missed activities include the international award-winning Acadian Historical Village on the outskirts of Caraquet, where you can step back in time 200 years and walk through authentic pioneer homes, churches, and businesses, and even chat with wonderfully believable role-playing characters. Join us as we visit with Sylvain Godin, historian at the Acadian Historic Village in Caraquet, New Brunswick.
The Acadians, they come from France, for instance, in 1604, down in Nova Scotia, our neighbor's province. And then, to do it roughly, because the Acadian history quite tumultuous and quite, you know, rocky. So they lived there prosperously until 1713, where the English took over the province of Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, and they came loyalists, come under the British crown. And then we were living on their land as Frenchmen until 1755. Between 1713 and 1755, they were asking us to the Oath of Allegiance, to be loyal to the king, and if ever the French come in, and they ask us to take arms to defend the English crown. We always refused the part of taking arms against our ally, French, but we also said we would stay neutral. So they don't call us, they long time call us the French neutral. And in 1755, they say, oh, that's enough for the Acadians here. We have to move them, so they deport us to the 13 colonies in the east side of States, 1755.
The Cajun. When and where and how did they wind up in Louisiana?
That's a good question, because a lot of people think the Cajun were deported to Louisiana, but that was not the case, because when we go back as 1757 until 1763, Louisiana was a French colony. So the Cajun, when they got expulsed from this part here of the Canada to the colonies, they just went normally to Louisiana.
Like they're going to a different province for in there.
And they know there was French, but basically in 1763, the historian here in the state will correct me, but in 1763 with the Treaty of Paris, Louisiana came under Spain, Spanish colony, but there was no radio back then, so the Cajun didn't know that. But plus, the Spanish was very overwhelmed with the arriving of the Cajun because they were good land, they were good to opening lands. That's why they were favoring that to the arrival of the Cajun in Louisiana.
So the accordion, for example, and the violin that is so much associated with Cajun music, did that come from here? Was that brought with them via France?
You have to understand the Cajun, the word Cajun, it's a blend of culture. Because in the story in Louisiana, you have people from Dominican and from Haiti, from Germany. Mm-hmm. So that's made the Cajun particular. It's a blend of culture, a Cajun with diesel culture. That's what made up the Cajun. So I think the Cajun could be responsible for the violin and the music and their roots, but not quite the accordion, though. Mm-hmm. Accordion is mostly from France directly, and Quebec, and probably in German's culture. So Cajun in Louisiana, it's a blend of culture actually happened today.
Well, back to Acadia and New Brunswick. So now they were expelled in 1755, but then started coming back somehow?
Yeah, they did. So after the Treaty of Paris in 1763, they let us come back. Okay, the British colonies of the States, they didn't accept us as well. And the assimilation, like Governor Lawrence wished that happened, didn't happen. We returned. They gave us the right to return, but we have to be set apart, not to form a big group. They were afraid of us to become a menace to the society.
A political threat. Then.
There you go. Thank you. And then we came back and we settled all across New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, but all apart. And we came back not in the same land because the better land was overtook by the loyalists and the people who serve under the British crown. Mm-hmm. But we have to clear new lands, settle back. Mm-hmm. So the best way for us was to toward the sea. Why the sea? Because it was already there to give us some food. And then we get back in the land. So when we came back, we were aiming toward the ocean. It was a way of survival. And then around 1880s, there was not enough land left for our children and stuff, so we went inland to get settled in land and to clear up the land, take part in agriculture. And in around 1880s or so, that's where the Acadian elite emerged with the Saint Joseph University in Moncton, in Memramcook, a few universities here and there in the province as well. That's where the elite emerged. And then in 1881, we did our first national convention where we chose a national date, the 15th of August. In 1884, we did a second convention in Miscouche, Prince Edward Island, where we chose a national flag, which is a French flag, blue, white, and red, with the star of Virgin Mary, with the color yellow, which is the papist color. And then we also chose an anthem, an national anthem. So without lands, we are a culture very well rooted here in the province of New Brunswick. And then in the 1960s, we have our first prime minister elected here in New Brunswick was Acadian.
In New Brunswick today, what is the population of Acadians versus people of maybe British extraction?
Yeah, British extraction, Scottish, other culture. We're about 700,000 population. Over that, we're about 200,000 of French-spoken mm-hmm. people here. Mostly of them are Acadian.
Mm-hmm. And the majority of people, I would think, obviously are bilingual like you are.
Yes, we are bilingual. We have a big accent, but still, yeah. We're bilingual. And here in New Brunswick, we're the only province in New Brunswick which is officially bilingual in all parts of the system.
Of Canada.
of Canada.
You're the only. That's incredible, because you think that Quebec would be ahead of you.
No, Quebec, no. It's the only French here in New Brunswick. Well, bilingual. Here on the site of the Village Historique Acadien, all our staff will receive you in English in their best way they can.
Sure.
But they're aware of that. Yeah.
And yet you could travel in New Brunswick to a rural community and find yourself pretty much in a French speaking town today, right?
Oh yeah, like Caraquet, for instance, is very French, but still everybody speak English, or they will get by to you in English, and they won't, like some region in Canada, they will ignore you, but not here in New Brunswick. Yeah. It's our way of life, it's normal for us, it's our everyday life.
That's an important point to talk about. Talked with many people in the United States, and they just don't know. What they do know is the worst of Quebecois, and the real, you know, kind of politicized anti-English, you know, characters. Why is it different here?
I think the Acadian culture, it's our way. It's hard to explain. It's very philosophical, but I think it's the way we go back as far as in history. We were taken over by the British in 1713, and we lived on their land as a French neutral.
Sure.
So I think that's explained a little bit.
I would think there'd be a horrible bitterness. I mean, you were deported. You were kicked out and shoved on a ship and dumped in Virginia. And to come back and have your ancestral homestead to be owned by somebody from Scotland, and you have to now be a tenant farmer on your former farm, I mean, I think that's an incredible testimonial to the resiliency of the human spirit.
We've been asked that question a lot of times. Yeah. But the answer is, it's in our culture, it's in our self, that's what is the Acadian way. I think that's what it is, you know. That's what makes us a special culture. That's why we have today Acadia is known mostly all over the world, and we don't have a land.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about it, it's strong into us.
So today we are at a very special spot on planet Earth. Tell us where we are and what's special about this location.
It's very special to me anyway, that's for sure. It's the Acadian historical village, the Village Historique Acadien in Caraquet, that been put together in 1777. We're owned by the province of New Brunswick, but what we want to show here is the culture of the Acadian, where we come from, because we have houses here. We have over 30 historical houses dating from 1770 to 1937. And we show all the different aspects, as authentic as possible, the way of living, in costume, in our meals, in our walk, in our talk, in our way that we received you. It's all our Acadian way of doing so. As well, when we come to our historical village, you won't go in a house like, for instance, the 1770 house, our oldest one. You'll see how she dressed. She dressed in linen and wool, you know. She cook on an open fire. She have a dirt and floor. But she won't play a role. Yes, she will show you how we live back then. But if you ask her a question about Acadia today, she will answer you. Mm-hmm. That's the particularity of the Acadian village.
She will step out of that role to a point.
Oh yes, because that's what makes us particular. It's not quite a role playing.
Mm-hmm.
At Martin's house, that oldest house there, yes, she'll show what Madame Martin could be doing back then, but ask her what's a good place to stay in Caraquet tonight, which is a city that's close here, she will tell you. And if you ask her how many Acadian we are today, she will tell you. What we want to do here is to show people the real Acadians.
Mm-hmm.
True history and today, it's a blend. And I think from the comments I heard when people get out of here, I think they enjoy it very, very much to see how simple we are, and how when we receive people, how we do it is a particular way.
This week is a very special week for the village and for the province and for Acadians. Tell us about this week out of the year.
We call it our national week. It's all started up with the Acadian Convention in 1881. Where the elite of Acadia put together a convention in Memron Cook, New Brunswick, which was the first university erect. And back then there was 5,000 Acadians from all around New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island and Nova Scotia get it together to talk about colonization, education, religion. And they chose a national day, which is the Assumption Day today, the Virgin Mary Day, as our patron, the 15th of August, as our national day. So through the year, we also chose a flag. Through the year, it become a celebration over a week, we did festival around it, and all Acadian communities, there's festival around it, there's around that 15th of August day, and on that day we do a lot of things. For instance, we get together, we sing, we dance, we eat, and at 6 o'clock all across Acadia we do our Tentamar. Tentamar is noise to tell people we're there and we're going to stay there forever until the end of the world, you know.
Give us a word picture of the Tentamar, the way in which people make noise.
People make noise at 6 o'clock. It started up in, but back then it's an old tradition to make noise to announce an arrival of a bishop or whatever in the village. And in 1955, on the bicentennial day of the deportation, after 200 years, all the Acadian bishop asked the people to get out of their houses and the village to do noises to tell people we're there after 200 years of the deportation. In 1979, which was the 375th birthday of the foundation of Acadia, we repeat the same thing with the bishop. And he asked all the Acadian village to ring the church bell and get out on their porches with pots, pans, guns, chainsaws, you know. And that day, the Festival Acadien in Caraquet put it in their program. So since then, since 1979, here in Caraquet mostly, on the 15th of August, there's about 12,000 people here in Caraquet gathered all together doing a parade, doing noise for about half an hour. Just awful noise. You can hear that miles and miles and around. But there's not only Caraquet, but Caraquet is probably the biggest place where Acadian people gathered. But all in a small village, they have their own Tentamar on the 15th of August at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a full parade too, correct?
It's a parade. It's people get dressed, costume, and they get out their pots, pan, whistle, their horns, anything that can do noises.
This week, you have people visiting from all over Canada. How many visitors would you imagine are here?
Today is about, just on the village here, there'll be probably 3,000 people in the village. But all in Caraquet and Acadia, there'll probably close to 50,000 visitors here during that week for that National Week.
For further information about the historic site and Acadians, do you have any recommended?
Yes, Village Acadien. It's villagehistoriqueacadien.com. Or if you do a search on Acadian Village, you'll find our websites.
Sylvain Godin, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure talking with you.
The pleasure was mine. Thank you.
Acadian history and folklore are woven into a fabric of every town and village along the Acadian coast. Wherever you travel in Acadia, your ears will be serenaded by fiddles, accordions, spoons, and joyous laughter.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.